Into sports.
20 yards out, Urs to shoot. Don't shoot! Oh, what a goal for Fabinho! Wow!
Then get into the all-new OTB Sports app.
I think when he apologises to me, I probably will say hello to him, yeah.
No. Videos, sports news, live scores, interviews.
If Fabregas is going to come up to me in the street and give me some of the mouth that he would have given me on a football pitch, what would he do? He'd get a slap.
Plus, exclusive content on the OTB Podcast Network. The biggest names in sports, ready when you are. Search OTB Sports on your App Store and download it now.
The OTB Podcast Network.
Racing
on Off the Ball,
brought to you by Horse Racing Ireland. Love every racing moment. Visit hri.ie.
Barry, we were looking back at the race, right? And this is very interesting because we've just been chatting about it. But I thought around about kind of 200 metres back that way, you were getting run out of it a little bit, that you were kind of slow and the other two on either side of you quicken. And it's like, ooh, how does that horse end up winning this race? But you were confident as all hell.
Yeah, I had a lovely run through the race, you know, dropped in early and crept away and crept away and crept into position. And I was probably about sixth or seventh over the fourth last, fifth last. Close enough, but not wanting to be any closer that I was going to get to the front too soon. So I remember jumping the one before the turn in and just happy to follow. And I think it was Roger Loughran I was using as my he was my target. And I had a target on Roger and got a lead off him. And when you're going easy like that, when you're travelling just within yourself, you have the comfort of being fairly certain you're going to be good at the last. Because you have the horse, if you need a big one, he's there for you. And if you're going to pop, you're travelling well enough, he'll be quick. So,
what if you're on a tired horse then, that you're like, you just have to gamble on it?
Yeah, you're gambling when you're on a tired horse. But if you're on a horse who's still travelling reasonably well, you can afford to be confident. You can afford to sit and wait. So I was happy to sit and wait. And my instructions from Jonjo and JP was not to get there too soon.
Right.
So that was the plan. So I knew, and like that, at about this point here, as you're approaching the last, I could see I'm meeting it on a short stride, not a fancy jump, but a short stride, just a measured one. And I knew he'd be quick, and as soon as he flew it, you'd land, throw the kitchen sink. And it's a short enough run here from the last. And it's that level, it's nearly downhill.
Right.
That you need momentum. If you lose momentum at the last, yeah, you have a bit of ground to make up, especially on drying ground.
How does it compare to other like finishes in Ireland in Fairy House? Because it does look, it's not the stiffest, like.
It's not, but it's a big circuit. So if you look at the last ditch over the far side, is probably, you know, that's about 8 furlong gate. So you're talking a mile on the chase circuit wider. So you're looking at a mile and one for the last ditch. It's a big run round. So pace will be up and you'll have a lot of work done before the straight, and it's a long straight as well. So if you kick off the turn in, you won't get to the lane. So you're doing as I was doing, you're conserving a little bit, conserving to attack at the last.
So you're going over the last in a horse that you know is plenty of horse, and you have this great jump that actually kind of immediately catapults you to the front. But it's not over. They do come back at you.
They do, but I knew I was the horse travelling best on the approach to the last. I knew I had what was in front of me covered. And you're fairly certain that you have, there's nothing that's going to come from behind with the pace that you have. So it's
a comfortable position to be in.
It's, well, as comfortable as you can be, but it's match practice.
Yeah.
But do you think about the race then as well? Do you think about, oh, this is Irish National, I haven't had much luck in this race. Does this come into your mind as you hear
no,
the stand?
No, never. And yeah. I had very little luck.
Yeah.
I'd say I must have ridden in, I don't know, 17 or 18 of them. And rode a few favourites and well-fancied horses. And I'd say Miss Orchestra in my first Grand National back in 98, she probably got the closest of the rest, finishing about sixth.
Maybe the year Galway won the All-Ireland, I think, Gerard.
There you go, maybe. Yeah. Did you bring it up? You did.
Yeah. So it's, I didn't have much luck over the years, so it was brilliant to get it. But it's, now when you're going to the last, you're obviously aware of the occasion, but it's a very small part of your mind. The atmosphere, the crowd, the roar, you know what it means, you know what's at stake, but it doesn't change anything you're doing. What you're doing is pretty much the same as you would do be it in Galway, Tramore, anywhere. This is, you know, it's your, if your game face on and you're just boom.
Was that always the case? Were you always good at that, or did you have to learn that? Were there times in your early in your career where the roar at the last might have given you, oh, this is about to happen, and you just lose the moment?
I'm sure there was. I'm sure the occasion, it's probably not at the last, but you'd probably find a half a mile from home where you get involved in a finish before you should.
Yeah.
And then you get beaten and you're kicking yourself and you know what you've done wrong. And it's those mistakes that you learn from. And that's where you learn to be.
You're more like Paul Carberry.
Well, yeah, exactly. To deliver a horse. You learn how to deliver a horse on the back of those mistakes. You know not to make that one too many more times.
One of the things that always impressed us most about John Giles is his ability 60 years later to remember a specific moment in the game where somebody gave him a bad pass, or he made a good pass, or he made a bad pass. Do you have like a photographic memory of some instances? Like, you know, you said you hadn't looked back at this race, but you still remember four back exactly where you were and how you presented it.
I suppose in races like that, that are, you know, they're obviously massive days in your career. It's because I grew up only 10 minutes from here. I live 5 minutes from here. So it's very much the local, and it always was a huge race in our childhood. So to go without winning it for so long and then to eventually get it, and to get it in the kind of style that you like to win a race.
Yeah, you know, for JP McManus.
Yeah, it was brilliant as well, JP and Jonjo. So that was great, but it's... you know, you win a race and you could win it by default. If things unfold whatever way, you might win it with a bad ride, but when you get it pinpoint
like this,
I was fairly happy with how he was delivered.
And that's
Barry's
memory.
A humble man as well. Like, he doesn't talk himself up. Like, was it one of your better big race rides?
I was on the best horse, but it was, you got it when you get it right, and you usually have to get it right to win. But you could be on the best horse and finish second or third.
Because somebody else does better, even if you don't make a mistake?
A bit of both.
Right, okay.
If you're on the best horse, you have to
win.
Well, yeah.
Otherwise you feel like...
You've underperformed.
Right.
Can you get away with a mistake in the Irish National, even if it's over 3-6? Can you get away with...
You can get away with a mistake. You won't get away with many.
Mm.
But it's because it's such a big level track with a lot of space... If you have a good novice with limited experience and you can find a nice position where you get a rhythm jumping, it can unfold if you have the horse who travels well and you can hold that position. But if you're getting crowded and you're not traveling as well, then mistakes start to appear and
you're gone
pretty much.
On that, what horse do you ideally want to race? Because nearly all the main favourites this year are novices, because you need a horse with a bit in hand. But like, say if you look at Sempo, he's a maiden going into the race. Like, how is he going to get away with that inexperience? So what do you want? Do you want nearly a second season novice that isn't fully exposed? Or?
Not necessarily. You could go into it on the back of four runs if you're natural, you know. So it's different horses will overcome a lack of experience better than others if they're natural, if they're up for the occasion, the big field, if those things don't daunt them, if they're happy to travel in among 30 horses unfazed, then it doesn't matter if they've had 3 or 4 runs, where you could have a fella who needs 8 runs to have that level of confidence. So it's more of an individual thing, but you're right, you need a horse who's unexposed.
Because it's such a classy race now with prize money in that.
It is, it really is, and you can it's reflected in the entries. You know, there's a lot of horses there which, you know, with real good form in comparison to some of the big handicaps that have been run across the water over the year. It's one of the strongest.
How do you know you're on the best horse?
You're travelling.
If you're in the middle of it.
If you have the luxury of, you feel like we're going slow.
Right.
You know that we should be going faster here. That's when, if you're in third gear. So most horses will race in fourth gear, right? I was feeling your fifth gear is what you're in the straight. So if you're racing in fourth gear, that's pretty standard. If you find yourself in third gear.
Right.
And you're in third gear for 3 mile, you're thinking, this is how you'd hope it was going to unfold.
Must be a great feeling as well.
Yeah, I'd say so. But do you ever have any inkling earlier, like even in the parade ring, or just kind of, like it is, it's only when you start travelling that you can kind of finally tell that?
You go out and hope, and you know, when you have a good ride like him, and I've gone out on plenty of horses in the Irish Grand National with good chances, but they didn't unfold like that. I'd never had a near miss of any sorts.
Yeah.
As I said, Miss Orchestra, my first one, was probably the one who travelled best for longest of everything else. So you go out on hope, but it's only when you've gone a mile that you realise that this is how you'd like it to happen. But that's the case in most races, be it a Gold Cup or an Antrim Grand National. If you find yourself travelling with real ease, jumping in a lovely rhythm, you're in the hot seat,
yeah,
if you like.
And that's the bit where you just need to cool down.
Appreciate it.
Yeah.
And you know, you need to just, as you say, calm and make the right decisions.
It's kind of a flow state.
Well, like, yeah, but it's just because you have the luxury of doing all the right things, you don't need to press any buttons. Keep it all simple, keep the rhythm. You know, you watch Rachel at Cheltenham making all the right decisions.
She rode a bit like you, actually, because she was very positive as well. Like, she wasn't afraid to, like, because you were a positive jockey in the nicest possible way. Like, you weren't, if you taught your horse in a rhythm second, you were happy to kick on three out because you were positive. And she just made, she make one mistake the whole week.
No, she was brilliant, there's no doubt. And anything that didn't win, it seemed to fall, which was no reflection on her.
Yeah.
But she did great. But no, she said that she watched some of the replays from last year, and she kind of thought that she got a bit of a feel from those. But I took no credit for Alaho, I told her. So it's, he definitely wasn't one for my book.
You didn't have a bad conclusion to your Cheltenham career?
No, definitely not. No, but I don't recall doing an Alaho ever around Cheltenham.
How do you mean?
Going as hard as he went.
But she said he was going with him.
Oh, yeah. And same thing, he was in fourth gear.
Yeah.
No, he wasn't in third gear, he was in fourth gear. But everything else was in fifth gear.
Could you relate to that? She came in and they were saying, everyone was saying you went that hard, and she was like, well, I don't think so.
That's going back to what I'm saying. So, as I say, she raced in fourth gear. So, if you can imagine yourself then in a race like this and you're in the luxury of third gear.
Mm.
Or fourth gear for longer, whichever way you want to put it. That's the whole thing. The best horse travels best. He travels easiest. So he's furthest from top gear. And that's...
So you've got most in hand then. When we come up to the finish line here, for example.
You then have the luxury to time your challenge. And you have the luxury... Now, he jumped really well.
You timed yours over the last, essentially. Was that it? Like,
Your time, and you're using the last as your springboard.
Right.
And you need the momentum, as I say, because it's
so flat. It almost is downhill, is it? Like,
well, it's so flat, it almost is. It's downhill away from the line.
Mm.
But it probably climbs to 50 yards a fraction and runs down again. But that's how level it is. Mm. So it's a lot of momentum needed. If you could be in front and miss the last and you get beaten.
A question about the actual winning of a race like this, because it is your local race. Does it mean more? And, you know, because in the middle of your career, I suspect if we'd asked you, does this mean more? You're like, yeah, it obviously is very special, but I have another ride coming up. There's Punchestown and I'm involved in a lot of other things that I need to win. Next race, next race, next race. That was the mentality. Looking back now, you know, with the incredible career you had, where does the victory at your home course finally in those colours, where does that actually rank?
Oh, on the day it was... top end, there's no doubt. You know, you put it with a Gold Cup and into Grand National. If you're to pick your favourite 5, 6, 7, it's there. There's no doubt. So it's up with a champion hurdle. It's, you know, I suppose, and the fact that it eluded me for so long probably makes it all the sweeter. But then to win it for Jonjo and JP in the style as well, you like to do it. You get more of a privilege when it unfolds the way you really planned it out.
Would you compare it as well to, like, we'll say winning a club championship compared to winning for your county? Like, because it's like, this means an awful lot to me because I'm a local lad. Like,
yeah, I'd say to a degree. Yeah, to a degree. Yeah, exactly. If it was the Welsh Grand National, it wouldn't mean as much, and it could be, you know, a race of similar stature, if you like. But yes, it wouldn't. Yeah, so definitely being the local one. It's, but I'd compare it more to winning an All Ireland.
Do you remember me winning All Ireland's or?
Do, yeah. I was at them.
Vaguely.
I was there.
It's not that long ago. We'll get to
Kildare. She's on the edge here, Johnny.
Yeah.
You did sound a little bit like Hannibal from the A-Team there. I love it when a plan comes together.
Yeah.
That's the best part of it, is that.
And it is. It is. And it, yeah, because it doesn't always work that way. But when it does, there's a massive kick out of it. I remember passing the lane, Roger Lockhart, who I beat. I had to apologise to Roger because he's a Mead man as well, and it was his local one and it was his chance, and I actually did as much, and I was delighted to win, but you know, when you've robbed it at someone else's expense, there was no joy in that side of it. But
yeah. Are there local celebrations? Do you remember those?
Yeah, there was. I think it was off to England the following day.
Right. You see, you don't get to enjoy it that much at the time, really.
I probably did. I think we were in Swans and Corraha until
right.
late that night, I think.
Right, the next day?
Early flight, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that would have been sensible, though.
You were flat out in the plane those days.
Yeah. But it was good. It was brilliant. Paula was here. The kids were here. It was a big local one, obviously.
Yeah.
It's just a great one to get.
That's
and as you said earlier, the local one, it does matter a lot more.
Give us a winner on Monday.
A winner on Monday. I like the Big Dog. Cocoa Beach, I think. Probably both. I think the Big Dog, maybe the ground could be just drying a bit for him.
How is it there now?
Yeah, well, I spoke to Noel. I didn't dig my heel in, but Noel is calling the Eland a soft, and it's relatively dry over the weekend. Some rain, so it'll probably, although it won't get too good, it's going to be getting towards that. So whether that's a bit too good for the Big Dog, I think he's a horse for the race if there's enough juice in the ground for him. And I'd say Cocoa Beach, I think as well, yeah, I think the 12-pound in the Tiestas, I don't think it'll stop him.
And obviously you're not riding it, don't miss it.
No, but I suppose you move on from it. It's over a year since I've stopped now. So Cheltenham was easier to watch than I thought. You know, there's not that it comes at a price, but there's a lot goes into a year.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of commitment, a lot of sacrifice, a lot of hardship, a lot of falls, a lot of everything. So it's to step away from that and take that out of your life. It outweighs. Again at this stage.
You can just sit back, relax and enjoy it.
Enjoy it, yeah.
All right, that's great. Thanks a million for that.
Cheers, John. Thanks, Johnny.
Racing. On Off the Ball. Brought to you by Horse Racing Ireland. Love every racing moment. Visit hri.ie.